Grace and peace are yours in abundance, knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us today from the lesson you just heard from Matthew chapter 2. And that reading begins with nine words. Just nine. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And with that phrase, it's as if Matthew deliberately skips the joy that we associate with Christmas because he has something else in mind. Something else is on his mind. And the very next words reveal what that is. He tells us that the birth of Jesus took place in the days of Herod the king. The moment that Matthew's original readers would have observed this, they would realize Jesus was born during the reign of one of Judea's most deadly kings. History tells us that Herod the Great, as he was known, was absolutely ruthless in the way that he exercised his rule. Although he was appointed king of the Jews by the Romans, the Jews didn't think much of him because he was only partly Jewish. And the Romans were suspicious of him because he was partly Jewish. And Herod, for his part, was suspicious of everyone. And that's putting it lightly. So when Herod gets name dropped by Matthew at the beginning of this account, he's suggesting something about how things are going to unfold. The first readers must have gasped when they saw that magi or wise men from the east went to Jerusalem and consulted horrible Herod about where they might find this newborn king. They knew how this king would take this sort of news. He was paranoid. Paranoid that he would lose his position over Judea. And Herod allowed no challengers to his throne, especially not a newborn prince who was fully Jewish, whose reign had been foretold in ancient scripture. To get a sense of what Herod is like, all we have to do is keep reading in Matthew 2. When the wise men did not return to Jerusalem as he had asked them to do, he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem and the surrounding district with the mission of exterminating all the baby boys 2 years and under. He had killed a number of opponents to gain his throne, including members of his own family, so he had no reservations about killing a few babies in order to keep that throne. And so fear and anger and jealousy, not to mention threats and violence and murder and grieving parents, dominate Matthew's Christmas story. It's shocking and a huge contrast with the story that Luke tells us in his gospel, where there's such obvious hope and peace. Luke is silent night, holy night. Now, there is joy in Matthew's story, of course, as those magi kneel before the newborn king with the opportunity to give their gifts that they've brought and their worship to him. But it's all set against the backdrop of this evil, vindictive, murderous king, Herod. Why would Matthew want to highlight so much evil on the occasion when the greatest good is coming into the world? My suggestion to you this morning is that Matthew was just being realistic. He's emphasizing this theme that is shot through all of Holy Scripture, beginning with the Old Testament, that the world is a very dark place. But the light that gives light to all people is coming, and in Christ has arrived. And his light shines in the darkness. John, writing his gospel, picks up the very same theme when in the ninth verse of his opening chapter he says, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And it's almost as if Matthew takes on that theme by reminding us of the star that was shining in the night sky that got the wise men moving towards the place where Jesus was born, that finally went before them. They became exceedingly happy as they saw this taking place, and it stopped over the place where Jesus could be found. This bright light in the night sky hailed the birth of the light of the world. And this theme of light driving away darkness is what Epiphany is all about. Jesus, when he grew up, said this about himself. He claimed to be the light of the world. In John 8, verse 12, he said, "Whoever follows me will have the light of life and will never walk in darkness." Just as flipping the switch in a dark room eliminates the shadows and the darkness, Jesus is the light who has come into a world darkened by sin and evil and violence and hatred and cruelty and lovelessness. Jesus was born into our world to bring hope, to give forgiveness of sins, to bring a peace that the world can't get its hands on. And he accomplished this obediently. He accomplished this by willingly going into that very darkness for us. I mean, it doesn't get any darker than a tomb with a stone that's rolled across the entrance. Jesus' death on the cross placed him into that ultimate darkness. He entered that solitary place so that you and I would never have to. And miracle of miracles, he didn't stop in the dark. In dazzling light, he rose from the tomb, creating this expectation that whoever believes in him will likewise rise. There are tombs we will someday exit because Jesus went first. And that is how the light of Christ shines in our lives and how we need it to shine, because there is darkness all around us. There is darkness in our lives. That darkness is caused by sin, but that darkness looks a little bit different to each one of us, doesn't it? Only you can say what that darkness looks like, what sin has done to you, to the people that you love. Your darkness may be something that you did a while ago that you still can't believe God would actually forgive you for. His grace just seems a little too good to be true, and you carry that. The darkness may be the chilling pain of a breakdown in a relationship that you used to treasure. Now it's just not there, and it haunts you. Or the darkness in your life may be the fear of what the future may bring. For what reason? Well, choose any of them. Illness, a loved one when you've had to say goodbye to. Maybe your own death, your own mortality is something that is hitting you more than it ever has. Darkness can also be caused by any sort of lack, a lack of light, a lack of love, a lack of generosity, a lack of forgiveness. Forgiveness you're withholding from somebody else. That's a very dark place to be. The darkness in Herod's life had completely overwhelmed him, had enveloped him. He could not see Jesus as those magi, wise men, did. In fact, he was so evil, he was so possessed of darkness, that he saw the light as a threat. He tried to eliminate the light. He tried to snuff it out because it was a threat to his thirst for power. He wanted control. He wanted to call the shots. The light was not welcome by him. John commented on that precise idea when he wrote, "People who do evil hate the light and will not come to the light, for it clearly shows what they've done." And in this reading in Matthew 2, we see that ultimate contrast with the magi or the wise men. They welcome the light. In fact, for a time, they chased the light. They were so overjoyed when they saw the star. They followed it to the place where Jesus was staying. And they were welcomed in. And there they presented their gifts that, by all accounts, were costly gifts. They were gifts fit for a king. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. And to just have the opportunity to see the child of promise with their own eyes. These learned, well-to-do men were just beside themselves with joy. Exceedingly great joy, Matthew tells us, they were feeling. As I'm sure you're aware, this is the first Sunday of 2025. 24 is now a part of history. It's in the books. Things that happened last year cannot be changed. There are events we wish would have turned out differently. There were times, I can only speak for myself, that my behavior left a lot to be desired. Things happened we would never have predicted. Things at the beginning of last year that we never dreamed would happen in 24 took place. So we look at this coming year in much the same way. But whatever this year brings for you, listen. Look for the light of Jesus shining in your life. Chase the light with the same dedication that those wise men did. Wherever there is darkness in your family or your friendships or our community, Christ has come to shed light, to restore peace, to bring harmony, to release forgiveness. And he calls you to use whatever means are at your disposal to relieve the suffering of others, to shed light where people's lives are so shrouded by darkness. Let's resolve to reflect the light of Christ in all that we do, trusting in the ultimate victory of our Lord, for he has made this promise: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Let us pray. Holy Jesus, every day keep us in the narrow way. And when earthly things are past, bring our ransomed souls at last where they need no star to guide, where no clouds thy glory hide. Amen.